from stpcatalyst.com.
We're back in the Catalyst studio from my mayor with candidate Newt Newton. Welcome, sir. How are you?
The words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be it south abundant thy sight, my strength, O Lord, my Redeemer. I am perfect. I'm doing great. Recovering from that marathon debate you guys had over the other night at Is of the Soul. But everything's going good. Campaigns, we're in second place with everybody in. No more speculation. And the voters have still holding me in second all the way through. And I'm excited about that. But, you know, we got to finish strong. We got about 55 days left. And I want to make sure that we continue to push and contact many voters as possible and get many votes in the bag, because that's going to be important. Also, I want to wish everybody a happy 4th of July weekend. Hopefully it won't be like this. It won't be stormy, but be safe with the fireworks and everything, and enjoy your weekend.
Great. So today's topic is our special city that we live in, which you've lived in your whole life. As mayor, what would you do? What are three things that you would do to help either preserve or even augment our character?
Well, as you stated, I was born and raised on this waterfront. I crabbed and fished and sold Evening Independence when I was 8 years old down here. So it's always been a beautiful waterfront. I would definitely maintain the referendum requirement for anything to be built on the waterfront, because that's an asset that belongs to the voters, and they should be still have control of that. That's going to be important. Everybody I bring to our beautiful city loves our waterfront. And the first thing they say, there's a lot of opportunity to put stuff here. I'm like, no. And I travel, you know, all over the world and to different cities and towns, and their beaches and their waterfronts are blocked out. They got condos everywhere. And it's a little maybe sliver for the public to have access, but not here. You get to walk actually all the way up and down our beautiful Tampa Bay coast and enjoy our beautiful waterfront. So I would definitely look to protect that. You want them all, or you want one at a time?
One at a time.
Okay.
So you know, we have laws, we have codes in place to protect the waterfront. What other things do you think need to be changed about or innovated with our code to, as we, you know, develop new buildings, preserve old buildings? What do you think we need to make changes in our code to help preserve our character?
Well, we always had some historical preservation, and we've been, when I was on council, we championed that, and our beautiful, the characteristics of our beautiful city. And I will continue to do that. We, for forest development, we have make sure we have smart development. With the advent of climate change, we're going to have, it's going to be some difficult, challenging times. We're a coastal community, you know, but I'm excited to announce that for the first time, the legislature has approved funds in the budget for the effects of climate change. And me being the only life member of the Florida House, I'll be able to go up there day one and get those funds to help to that end. But just a lot of smart development and regulations to make sure we protect our coastlines and develop them properly so we don't run into problems.
Thank you. So let's move on to item number two.
Number two would be our senior centers. You know, we've, so unfortunately, that, you know, as I watch from afar, I'm a statesman being a representative, and the government closest to the people is more, supposed to be more supportive of the people, but a lot of the stuff that gets voted on and implemented, you never hear the seniors come up once. For instance, the 43% increase in the sewer rates. You know, these individuals are on fixed incomes, and they don't have 43% more for and so that means it's going to be 43% less for medicine and food. However, what I love about the legislature, we always held the veterans and the military and also the seniors harmless. And whatever we did, they were always exempt. So I want to make sure we, as we go around town, we fortify our senior centers to make them more full service. I'm thinking like a beauty salon, maybe makeup. So these seniors, they can look good. You know, I did a photo shoot at a nursing facility, and they had a lady come in and do makeup and got them all glamorous. And I did portrait shots of them, and they face just lit up just to be able to do that. And we got a lot of seniors in this city that have paid the way and went first. So we got to make sure we look back and provide for them. So I want to look at upgrading them senior centers, maybe get their feet done, their nails, you know, and we can have our young people doing this. A lot of our young people can do hair and makeup. These are good skills that they can use, and they got a captive audience to practice on.
And you talk about seniors not being brought up during these conversations. What will you do as mayor to bring more voices to the table, make sure that different constituents are brought up that may not be now?
Well, I would go and make sure I have seek an audience with the seniors, like we did with when we were doing the trail all the way up and down First Avenue, the bike trail, you know, in front of the senior center. They had challenges of getting over that trail to a bus, to the where the buses was going to be. And it was an impediment because some of them was falling and tripping and whatnot. And all that got put in place without even talking to the people that lived there. So I would go to those centers and sit with them and let them know what our plans are, listen to their feedback, you know, listen, learn, and lead, and make sure we include them. If you listen to a lot of the conversations, even when they're talking about money, when these people living on fixed incomes, you never hear them come up once. They don't have a voice. Not that I've heard of, unless I'm missing something, but I'm going to make sure we take them into consideration and what they're going through. I've received calls where people, I mean, their hearts are pouring out saying, you know, Representative, this Social Security check with these high light bills and high water bills only goes so far. So that means they're going to have to start cutting something else because the city pretty much don't care. If you don't pay it, they're cutting it off. So we got to make sure we look out for the least of the and the people that paid it all first.
Thank you. All right, so what's one final thing that we can look to do to preserve or augment the city's character?
My next one, and it was near and dear to my heart, is recreation. To be able to recreate our pools, our parks, our rec centers. I want to make sure that we get full use of those. I don't think those assets are being utilized to their fullest extent. Most of those things shut down early, so we have a lot of youth in this city, you know. And last year, we arrested 54,772 5 to 17-year-olds. In the state of Florida, and 65% of those are black boys and girls. We've got to be proactive in finding things to keep them engaged, you know, around the clock if need be, you know, late night basketball. You know, people would think that would take a lot, but we have a lot of sororities and fraternities that are here in this city that are active in trying to make sure our youth stay out of harm's way. So maybe they can volunteer some hours along with some city staff to help open these facilities and provide opportunities to them. But I want to upgrade them. I want to make them full service facilities. When I talk about financial literacy, I want to make sure all those tools are there so those kids can learn about how money works. They can learn about mortgages. They can learn about buying cars. You know, we have got to get back to training our young people up. And I'm excited to announce that we received, when I say this, we, the state, received $600,000 to expand the apprenticeship program. And these are most of the ones that don't have access to the skills and technologies are minorities. So if we don't get intentional about, Joe, about maybe training these people up, giving them skills so they can earn a good living, we're going to have to continue to subsidize them and take care of them. I think through education, with our education ecosystem and the investments that have been made throughout the city already with St. Pete College and $40 million investment in Midtown in the middle of one of the most impoverished areas in the whole county, we can use those resources to really train these people up and keep them out of harm's way.
When you talk about our city rec centers and the pools and whatnot being underutilized, why do you think that is? And are those reasons things that we can solve for? And what are the solutions?
Yeah. I mean, the reason they're underutilized is because they got hours that they got to be open. And sometimes those hours aren't late hours, you know. And when they close at 5 or 6, the young people are still roaming around with nothing to do. I mean, I was told, you know, for instance, our summer job program, there's always been enough money in the budget for 160 jobs, but we have 1,000 kids that want to work. So the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Also, I'm told by the police chief, it was Chief Harmon, I don't think it really changed on the Holloway, but during the summer, we arrested between 600 to 800 juveniles. So you got 1,000 kids that want to work, you got jobs for 160, and we arrested between 600 to 800 because they don't have anything to do. But once they get those backgrounds, they're doomed. So I want to make sure we engage them, get them to do things, and be able to have stuff available for them. I'm also reminded of when I had the police chief and the fire chief coming in, Holloway and Chief Large, and also Harmon and Chief Large. Chief Harmon shared with me when I asked him, I said, of our sworn strength, 545 officers that we put on the street to keep you, me, and us safe, I asked them how much of their time is spent as it pertains to dealing with, you know, juveniles with our young population. And he said, and I quote, from the comm center down, from the communication center down, 60 to 70% of the time is spent dealing with our juveniles. Now, if you want to put a dollar amount to that, one officer, to put one officer on the street, it's $100,000. That's Kevlar, Taser, Glock, benefit package, car, 100 grand. So you multiply that by 545, that's $54 million in resources. However, they're spending 60 to 70% of their time, you know, dealing with juveniles. So you figure 65%, 65 times 54 million, that's about $30 million of resources utilized dealing with our juveniles. I think we can utilize the resources that we have to keep them engaged in little league programs, after school, summer jobs, and different programs at our rec, you know, year round. And that keeps them away from the police, and the police ain't got to deal with them. This is a win-win-win-win-win situation.
Makes a lot of sense and perfect soundtrack for your point as the sirens are going off in the background.
I told I got to come by at about 3:45. It's perfect.
Well done. Kenate Newton, always good to see you. Thanks for stopping by.
And thanks for having me, Joe.
We'll see you again in a couple weeks.
All right.
From stpetecatalyst.com.